Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now, I'm not asking anybody to feel sorry for me, but you know, when the alarm goes off at 4, it's early. But then I get in here and I hear this music and I think, man, am I lucky. Of course, I'm lucky to be employed everywhere or anywhere. Let's dance. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. 6:11. Every single day we say it, just when you think it couldn't get any goofier, just when you think it couldn't get any worse. The Trump stuff coming up. Also, we'll get to really the biggest news on the show today involves Mary Vanderbilt. We'll get to that in a second as well. But let's jump right in with the top six at 6 at 6:12. Go.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
Top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
One of the things that I think we can agree on, regardless of politics, is it's not the lie, it's the cover-up. And in the case of the president, the cover-up has gotten worse and worse. President Trump apparently asked FBI Director James Comey to end the investigation of his former national security advisor and the guy he leaned on throughout the campaign, General Michael Flynn, who would ultimately be fired for, lying to the vice president. In between those stories were a million sidebars, but yesterday, Comey, as was revealed by several people who know him and work with him, as was revealed by several people who have worked through the FBI and worked through government law enforcement agencies, and lawyers do the same thing. You take notes after meetings. You don't take notes after boring meetings necessarily, but you do take notes after anything interesting or tumultuous or aggravating or noteworthy happens in a meeting, because you're trained to collect evidence. You're trained to have the ability to go back and check your paperwork. Comey has a long history of doing it, and he apparently did it in the case of several meetings with the president, but certainly in the case of the meeting where, in his words, Comey, and we've not seen the memo yet, but many people who have from various news organizations and other politicians as well have spoken about it in the last 12 hours, said that Comey recounts how he was in a meeting with Vice President Pence, Attorney General Sessions, and the president asked Sessions and Pence to leave. Now, keep in mind, this is James Comey's boss, Jeff Sessions, direct boss, and the vice president. And asked them to leave so he could specifically ask Comey in private to let this thing go with the general, the Mike Flynn thing. Comey then left, typed up his memo at home, put it in the file, and that's one of the reasons Comey wants to testify in public, because he wants to bring this out.
Right. Adding, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I hope you can let this go.
This is not the Trump Tower. This is the White House. This is not how it works. The president has never tried to understand how it works. He's never educated himself on how it works. Frankly, he's never used the resources he has to make his life easier. So because of that, he has created an all new level of problems. If there are tapes, it'll get even worse. But now you're hearing the impeachment word all over the place. And now you're hearing Republicans like Jason Chaffetz step up and say he wants subpoenas issued for everything. He wants all the evidence. Because the Republicans are in a position now, even the most staunch supporters of Donald Trump are in a position now where they have to ask the questions.
You have to. Everybody has to.
Right. Because if you don't now, you're part of the cover-up.
Absolutely.
So this will go where it goes, but expect it to be sped up almost exponentially as we head into today. I would say there's nothing wackier that could happen today in regards to this. And, of course, by 5 o'clock, I'll be proven wrong. Israel, said to be the secret source of the intelligence that President Trump gave to the Russians. You may not remember this story because it was Tuesday, or actually Monday, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But the Israeli government apparently are the folks that had the agent, the inside agent on ISIS.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why that needed to be leaked, but that got out. This, to me, would be a legitimate point of anger for President Trump and others in the Trump administration. And by the way, the biggest leaks are out of the White House. But the leaks that are published and printed, and I don't know who printed this first, but you're not helping by saying it's Israel. I understand it's news, and there's a value to news and a right for the public to know. The public doesn't benefit by knowing the agent is from Israel.
Right.
And this agent from Israel hopefully is able to get out of ISIS in some way before they're killed. Frankly, we'll probably never know. Reporters have heard senior advisors shouting from behind closed doors, and the president has described one of his most senior aides as incompetent, including describing in some words, not necessarily incompetent, but similarly negative terms about Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
So he's lashing out at his inner circle now.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
No, again, the people that have lied for you and supported you most, those are the people you don't want to attack. I mean, Nixon even got that right. Nixon tried to keep his closest aides around him for as long as possible.
Especially because these are the buffers. These are people who are going out and defending you and your policies.
That is part of the story today as well. Chelsea Manning was just released from prison. As Steve said a few moments ago, the former U.S. Army soldier was sentenced to 35 years for leaking government secrets. But former President Obama commuted the bulk of her sentence. Chelsea Manning, when those secrets were leaked, was a him and had the gender reassignment surgery done and is now Chelsea Manning.
Right.
Where Chelsea Manning goes with her life at this point is hard to know.
Well, there's already a GoFundMe page that was set up, so.
Okay. I won't be donating.
No, I know.
But I do wish her well. Three people shot dead, 15 others wounded in attacks from Tuesday morning to early Wednesday here in the city.
Yeah, and Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Jansen has a news conference this morning at 10:30. They're going to be announcing a revised use of force policy.
What does that mean?
Yeah, we'll find out this morning.
No leaks on that,
early? No leaks on that. But you know what? I have to say the transparency with Eddie Jansen is fantastic, though. They'll call news conferences. They explain what's going on. He acknowledges, yes, you know what, there's been a rash of crime. We're going to try and do X, Y, Z to try and get it solved. So they're having a news conference this morning. Yeah.
And before we go and finish our top six, I actually have a 6.5. I got a bonus story for you. J.B. Pritzker, who was accused of exploiting the system and getting a refund of $240,000 on one of his Gold Coast properties, and a check written back to him at a time where the city schools are broke, J.B. Pritzker had nothing to say yesterday.
How about that?
Nothing to say. Complete silence, complete quiet. And if you're hoping the story is going to go away in the midst of everything else we're talking about, it's not. If I were Chris Kennedy, I couldn't wait to tee this up as soon as his campaign starts in full. And certainly Governor Rauner in a reelection campaign would be bringing this up as well. For those of you that maybe missed the story, J.B. Pritzker, who's all over your TV, wants to be your next governor. He is worth $3.5 billion by most accounts and applied for an amendment in his tax bill. The amended tax bill allowed him to receive a refund of $250,000. Joe Barrios, who's in charge of the department that handles these things, said, yeah, I didn't even see it. And if you're telling me the city and the condition it's in and the guy at the head of that agency writes a check for $250,000 or someone in the agency does and he doesn't know about it, who are you kidding, Joe?
Oh, I completely agree. Because that
nonsense.
Office is in complete disarray. By the way, interesting press conference yesterday with some of the state legislators, the Democratic state legislators, Barbara Flynn Curry saying that we want to, let's do this. Let's go in a room. Let's lock ourselves in the room. Let's hammer out a state budget. Let's do it within 48 hours. And Governor Rauner responding, saying that his proposals are already on the table. He's not going to bend anymore. So there's more back and forth. But at least he had some of the Democratic state representatives yesterday saying, hey, let's do this. Let's
get in the Madigan room. Move.
That was, I think, yeah, probably spearheaded by him.
Mm. Is he coming on today?
I don't think we have confirmation of that yet.
Oh, Mike Madigan's not coming in. We know it early today. So if you're the seventh car, now you're a big winner. The puncher has been caught. Andre will tell you that story in just a few minutes. The guy that punched the security guard, who says, by the way, I had a friend say he felt terrible about the fact he hit a woman. Did he? Did he feel bad? Did he lose two nights sleep while the police were spending thousands of dollars looking for him? Did he feel terrible? Gosh, I hope it's not rough for him in prison.
I saw the quotes that, oh, he's a good guy. He's not like this.
They all say that.
And what about his friends who stood there and did nothing and then they all walked away?
How about why wait 48 hours?
Yeah, because he's a coward.
Why not, you know, if you feel bad, you feel terrible, you go immediately to the police station and say, I'm so sorry, I messed up, here's what I did.
Yeah. Now, he will find an attorney to defend him, and he probably, if he has no priors, will not do jail time, which is criminal. Because a guy, that's what Karen Conti said yesterday, a guy who has that much reflexive ability to just punch a woman in the face has done it before, and he'll do it again.
Yep.
He's a coward, and I hope he goes to jail. I don't care if it's for a week, I hope he goes to jail. Felt bad. Shut up. So let's end on a high note, and that is former Vice President Joe Biden loves ice cream. He's getting his own ice cream flavor from a place I grew up at, the Cornell Dairy Ice Cream Store. My mother worked at this store, and when I was a little kid, the biggest thrill you could have is my cousins and I would ride our bikes as fast as we possibly could to get to the Cornell Dairy Ice Cream Store, where we would get chocolate milk fresh from the chocolate cows.
From the chocolate cows?
Yeah.
Steve? Oh, forget it.
Five possible names to the Biden ice cream. Tell me which one you like. Biden's Chocolate Bites.
Not bad.
White and Biden. Not Your Average Joe's Chocolate Chip. Uncle Joe's Chocolate Chip. I like this one. Bits and Biden.
That's good.
Bits
yeah,
I like Biden, that one
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Bits and Biden.
We'll come up with the dirty ones off the air. We're going to help Frank and I for his book.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. You know, Amy Dickinson went to the same high school I went to.
What's
happening here?
Several years before I went. But I shouldn't say several years. Oh, that's
a couple.
Yeah, I think two.
She's so sweet.
Well, you don't know her. No, she's a nice person. 6:28 now. This is 720 WGN. Let's go live to the 7th floor.
Woohoo!
What time was the baby born?
Celebrate! Well, I think around 8 o'clock.
Last night?
Yeah.
We didn't hear about it till this morning.
I didn't get the word till like 9:30.
Well, why don't you immediately call all of us?
Because it was 9:30.
That's a good point. I wouldn't have answered.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought, well, I hadn't told my family yet, so.
Well, who are you closer to, this show or your family?
Well, you're both my family.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, little baby's name?
Little baby's a girl, and her name is Corinne.
Ah, that's nice.
Corinne
that's
Helen.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congratulations,
Corinne. Different, huh?
Oh, yeah. They told me it was Chlorine.
No,
it's
Chlorine.
Well, some people are saying, Chlorine. You mean Carrie Ann? I go, no, not Corinne. Carrie Ann and ABBA.
Corinne is a hot name.
It is?
Yeah, it's a hot name. Yeah.
What do you mean?
A lot of names. A lot of babies being named
Corinne?
Yeah, Jimmy DeCastro's new granddaughter is Corinne as well.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in great company.
Yeah. Yeah, and see if you can get in Jimmy's will.
Oh, boy. He's going to be mad, maybe. Do you think?
There you go. But how's Mama?
They're doing great. I mean, she had a long day. You know, she was at it all day. So, long time. Little baby, though, about 5'9". So,
ooh, it is tiny.
Yeah. 2 weeks
early,
though.
A couple weeks early.
2.5, actually.
But it's a little girl.
5 pounds, 9 ounces, not 5 feet, 9 inches.
I was like,
tall,
yeah.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She'd be a basketball player already.
Mom's like 100 pounds in general, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
She's a tiny little thing. Yeah. But she did great. Sarah, so happy. I mean, this is just, she makes me so
happy.
When
are you going to see her?
Thank you. I'm leaving this morning after the show.
Well, good.
Heading to Madison.
Nice.
Mantown.
Are you coming back?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm telling you.
She might take the baby and bring it back.
That's the thing.
I'm telling you, you hold that baby, it's instant love.
Oh, I saw one picture so far. I mean, it's not a really good, clear picture so far, but she is cute.
Typical girl. She's already worried about the picture she's taking.
Of course, she looks like she has curly little ringlet hair already.
She have photo approval on her pictures?
Now, this is like a big thing now, right? The parents hire, say, a photographer to come in right as the baby's born.
Well, the hospital's got a photographer.
Yeah,
it's like
do.
A Disney ride.
Right, but they do not just the baby, you know, the baby picture anymore. They put like the baby on a basket or the wrap.
My niece is a professional photographer, Megan Vandeveld. I'll say that, and she will be taking the pictures, I'm sure, and she does all that stuff.
You know, Mary, I almost called you last night.
Really?
Yeah, because when your son called me at 8:45.
Oh. You know what's really funny? My mom, who remember hung up on us last week, which she still claims she did not do. Uh-huh. She probably is not listening, so the people at the home will tell her before she will know, because I could not call her last night, and I'm going to call her as soon as I get off the air right now.
Well, you should call her every 10 minutes, otherwise you're going
to
be in
trouble. But my sister always gets to her first, so my sister's probably already told her.
Well, she likes your sister better than you.
I know, she does. Yeah. She says she doesn't have favorites, but I know she does.
Well, congratulations. Corinne, what is her middle name?
Helen. That
Corinne
is
Helen.
Named after her Sarah's mother.
Okay.
So,
oh, that's
after
nice.
The other mother. But that's,
well, that's
okay.
Nice.
Yeah, what
I'm
about
fine.
Corinne Mary?
I'm okay with Corinne Helen. I think it's pretty.
Helen is a pretty name.
It is.
And what's the last name going to change to?
Vandeveld.
Yes. No.
Yeah. The kid's already going, how many letters?
Yeah.
How many letters do I have to write?
Yeah, right.
Oh, she's going to be so cute. I can't wait to see her.
Well, congratulations. It's
Thank
very
you
good
guys.
News. And and how's your son? We didn't ask about him.
Oh, he's fine. He's been eating the whole time. He went to the cafeteria. He was fine.
So he put on 40 pounds?
I think he was a good coach.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
You know, what is it with the guys anymore doing that? When my cousin was in labor, she was texting right before she went in, obviously. And she said, I said, oh, where's your husband? And she said, oh, he had to run to Taco Bell.
Well, you're standing up.
Well, it's hard to coach,
oh,
you know.
Poor thing.
You're standing up, your feet hurt. It's tough.
I had the doctor examine me while my wife was in labor with our first because I had a sore throat.
Yeah, Dave
and
said,
I was afraid I had strep.
Oh, poor Dave.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure I wasn't exposing the baby.
That's not true. Dave had a game that week and he wanted to make sure he was ready to roll.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't you get your whooping cough shot, Dave?
I don't think they had that back
then.
No,
they didn't. As a matter of fact, with photography, they didn't have photographers back then. Dave will remember this. When the baby was born, they'd come in on a stone tablet and they'd etch a picture of the baby.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then they'd run it to our village.
Yeah, the flashbulb would drop to the floor and crash.
Yeah, exactly. 6:33, Grandmother Vandeveld. Congratulations.
Grandmother.
Yeah, what are they going to call you?
I don't know, but... Oh.
Granny.
No, stop.
Oh, Granny.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to call. Depends on what comes out of the little Corinne's mouth.
Granny.
Well, I thought G-Pops for me, which would have made more G-Mama, but then she pointed out it sounds like a stripper.
She just calls you Pops, right?
Yeah, she calls me Pops.
Just plain Pops.
Yeah.
Abigail, not his wife.
Right. That would be weird. It's 6:33, back with a big story in just a moment. And then we go live to Germany, where we're going to be talking with Stan Bowman. He's picking up a whole, you know, it's like he's going to a Costco in Germany. He's picking up a whole pallet of German hockey players. So we'll see what he's doing there and talk a little bit. Blackhawk summer before the convention. We'll be here before you know it. But right now, this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah, I'm watching the NHL Network. I just play this song occasionally and just weep, just sob silently. Yeah, I just miss Hawks hockey when the weather's hot.
I know, we're so used to it.
Yeah, no rush for the summer to be over, but very excited about next season already. And Stan Bowman, Vice President, General Manager, and Honorary German Citizen, joins us live from the World Championships. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What have you seen of excitement there, and are you currently wearing Lederhosen?
No, I haven't seen too much Lederhosen, but we're enjoying our time here. It's been a really good run for the U.S. team. They lost the first game of the tournament, and then they won the next six. So we had a great end to the preliminary round. We finished first in our division, and we are awaiting the quarterfinal game tomorrow against Finland. So it's been a really good experience here so far, and looking forward to a couple more games here. We can get three more wins. We'll be the champions. So it's been a fun experience.
And I'm glad you're having a good time. I will ask you this. Is there too much hockey now? Is there too much hockey around the world? It seems like hockey is played every week all summer long, you know, outside of the NHL.
Yeah, well, this is a good tournament. This is something that they have every spring, and it's a long tournament, but it is certainly captured the spirit of the hockey fans. They've had incredible crowds here in Germany. It's been sellout crowds. It's been a really fun experience, and, you know, for people who haven't got a chance to see it, you know, the games, U.S. games are on the NHL Network,
yep.
And It's a little bit of a different flavor. You know, there's certainly a lot of cheering and a lot of, you know, the spirit, the European support. The games are just a little different in terms of the atmosphere. So it's a lot of fun to watch, and it's fun to be part of it as well.
Will they play the Olympic rules?
Yep, it's on the larger ice surface here. So, but, you know, it's a little bit different, I guess, than NHL hockey, but it's still very competitive and high level. I mean, there's some great players here, especially as we get down here now to the quarterfinals. You'll be watching some good games.
Yeah, you got some of the really the bright young stars in the National Hockey League are on this team. You have a couple of guys, Stan, on the U.S. team. And what does this experience do for a guy like Nick Schmaltz, who clearly made some big strides during the season for you?
Yeah, I think it's been a great experience for Nick. Just watching his development as a player, you know, he's come a long way from where he was a year ago. You know, he got his first NHL action, and I think by the end of the year, he was an important part of our team. And he's coming over here, and he's played on the second line pretty much the entire tournament. So he's getting a big role. He's on the power play. He's had a good tournament so far. It just helps with their confidence. I think, you know, when you play in an event like this, with and against some of the best players in the world, I think, you know, you step up your game, and I've seen that come out of Nick as well. So, so far it's been nice to see him take that next step in his development as a player.
As the summer rolls on and the expansion draft comes up, what sort of roster moves are you having to consider? And of course, if you want to give me the exact moves now and break some news, feel free.
Well, that would be nice, but no, we're still talking to some teams. As you know, there's a lot of maneuvering that's probably going to happen between now and you know, the third week in June when the expansion draft will occur. You know, we know we're going to lose one player. It's the same for every team. Everyone loses one player and only one. So, you know, we're probably going to lose a good player, but, you know, the same can be said for all the teams. So that's the way it goes. We've had a lot of discussions and meetings and talk about things, so I don't have any breaking news for you, but, you know, I think we have a pretty good idea of where that's going to end up.
You'll keep my cell phone handy, though.
Of course.
Yes, yeah.
We'll keep you there on the bat phone.
Stan, the way it works, there are a couple ways you can protect guys on your roster, right? You can choose by position which guys you want to protect?
Yeah, so they have two different approaches. Yeah, you can either protect 8 players total, regardless of their position, plus one goalie, or you can protect 3 defensemen, 7 skaters, and 1 goalie. So the second option I just mentioned gives you the ability to protect more players. You can protect 10 skaters plus a goalie as opposed to 8 skaters plus a goalie. But in the second scenario, you have to break it up by defensemen and forwards. So obviously there's a decision you have to make there. You know, so a lot of the players are exempt from this draft. So, you know, a player like Schmaltz or even Artemi Panarin, based on their NHL experience, they're exempt from this process altogether. So, you know, it's a balancing act trying to decide which way we're going to go. But, you know, it's something every team is facing. And, you know, the league set it up this way so that Vegas would start with a competitive team. And so from that perspective, I get how they came to these rules.
And then right after that, you've got the entry draft. And is it different for you being the host team this year and having it at home and not worrying about having to travel at all, but having the rest of the league come to you?
Yeah, it's a really exciting time for us. It's something I'm looking forward to. I mean, the draft is a huge event for us in the hockey business.
Sure.
That's where you know, you get your first glimpse at players that are going to be stars down the road. So, you know, it's an NHL event, so they do handle a lot of it. But certainly I think the excitement level surrounding the event and the awareness with us hosting it, you know, we've raised the profile of the actual event itself. And I think it's something we've been talking about hosting for a while, and we finally were able to get it. It's really something special for the fans to come see. So, you know, we're trying to expose everyone to, you know, some of these players, most of them maybe aren't household names, but they are going to become stars in the years to come. So we're doing our best to try to get the word out on who these guys are. And, you know, there's a lot of great stories that will come to the surface over the next 6 weeks. And so we're really excited. I think it's going to be a fun event.
And keep checking back to ChicagoBlackhawks.com or the NHL.com website, and just link it with the Blackhawks team site. In both cases, you'll get a lot of information on the draft. And if you're truly a Hawks fan, and along with the convention, it's another great chance to stay in touch with the team over the summer. All right, so a couple things. Panarin was quoted as saying he got tired at the end of the year. Now, there's always the question of translation and context. Did you guys have a conversation about that? And obviously, we're going back to the Nashville sweep here, even though Nashville has proven they were the real deal, and that was no fluke.
Yeah, no, Nashville's an excellent team. You know, I think it was a disappointing ending to our season. You know, we had one of our best regular seasons in the history of the Blackhawks, and then, you know, we certainly didn't get the performance in the playoffs that anywhere close to what we hoped for. So I did talk to Artemi at the end of the year. I mean, the tire did not come up in the conversation that he and I had. You know, he was disappointed in the way it ended, and, you know, he wanted to do better himself. And I think that's always a good sign when you see players that are, you know, looking to build on their season and they're not satisfied with the results they did have. I think Artemi had a great second season. Sometimes it's hard to duplicate what you do as a rookie when he was such a big player for us, but he was able to do that. He had a great regular season, and, you know, we just, as a team, we didn't have much luck scoring goals against Nashville. So, you know, that's something we're looking to build on and improve. But I think, you know, you're right. When you watch the way the playoffs have gone here, you've seen that this Nashville team's, you know, a force to be reckoned with. And it's going to, you know, play out for a really competitive series, I'm sure.
Yeah, and, you know, the Canadians would love to have a championship. It's been a long time for Canada, the home of hockey as well. I got to say, I really appreciated what you said on behalf of all fans, and I know it wasn't just a statement for the fans. I know that's how you felt with your own disappointment in what happened in Nashville or with Nashville at the end of the season, but I think that's one of the reasons the Hawks went from worst to first in the last 10 to 12 years and are such a prize for the National Hockey League and such a thrill for Chicago fans is the people that make the decisions care as much as you do and never lose sight of how much you care. So nobody in the organization blew this off and said, we'll get them next year. There's a lot of work that's gone on already, and it continues, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a very disheartening ending to our season. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time sort of trying to break it down. And I think, you know, there comes a point when you have to start focusing on next season, but you have to spend enough time, you know, analyzing what went wrong, what you can improve upon so that you don't repeat that. And you know, we have done quite a bit of you know, looking into ways that we need to improve leading into next season. And you know, part of it is going to be some new faces to the mix. And there's always changes year to year, even if whether you have a lot of success and win or whether you have disappointments. You know, you're going to bring in some new players, and that's some of the stuff that we're focused on right now. So I'm doing some scouting over here in this tournament. There's some free agents available, and there's also still some hockey being played. You know, there's this tournament called the Memorial Cup. We've got four of our Blackhawk property players in that event, which is starting this weekend.
Good God, man. Take a week off.
To be played. I know. It never stops. I mean, this is actually traditionally our busiest time of the year. You
How
know, either even if you're not playing. It's there's a lot of stuff happening at this time of year leading into the draft, like you said. So, you know, we don't really get much downtime. We're focused on next season already. And, you know, we're looking ahead and optimistic that we're going to come back stronger than ever.
Nice to talk to you. I appreciate you taking the time this morning, and thanks for all the hard work that everybody in the Blackhawks organization does. Have fun in Germany, and you know, pick yourself up a souvenir. I'd like to see you come back with a festive hat or something.
Or a giant pretzel.
Yeah.
Remember, Stan, did I beer Binta?
What does that mean?
Three beers, please.
All right, she'll send the...
Look at you. You're German.
I know. I'm trying to help you, Stan.
She'll send you the phonetics on that.
You.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Take care. Stan Bowman, your general manager. Cracking the whip.
I can't see him ordering three big beers.
Well, he may. He may.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Hi, Vince Lloyd.
And Lou Boudreaux.
With season's greeting.
This season, why not put the Cubs in someone's stocking?
You can try to pitch a hitter a certain way, but when you're in trouble and a little tired, as Darlin is, he might make a mistake.
Here's the pitch.
He did.
We're a week away from the Walk of Fame. Walk of Famer Dave Ennett, we will place an honor in the Walk of Fame, the great Lou Boudreaux. Did you know Lou?
Yes, I did. I worked with Lou here and Vince Lloyd.
I never had the pleasure of meeting him, but obviously knew the legend.
Wonderful guys and obviously tremendous broadcasters and very versatile. You know, Lou did, he did... not just Cubs baseball. He did a lot of things on this radio station.
Yep, and was a go-to guy whenever was needed and stepped up whenever was needed. Jim Boudreaux's on the phone. And nice of you to take the time to talk to us, Jim. We're very happy to be talking about your dad.
Oh, so am I. Thank you for having me on the show.
Are you going to be able to make it to the ceremony?
Absolutely. I'm going to be there. My sister's going to be there. Unfortunately, I've got a brother in Phoenix who can't make it and a sister in Michigan who won't make it, but two of the four will be there.
Favorite memory of dad doing the games is what?
Probably just as a boy attending the games. I mean, you know, those games I believe were 1:20 and dad was always adamant on getting there early. So we'd be at Wrigley by 10 o'clock, probably well before the game started. My memories were being up there. And the best thing actually about being a kid was at that time, the booth offered free food. So free hamburgers, free chips, you know, whatever you wanted, which was great. But really, I just remember the camaraderie between everybody up there. The minute they hit Wrigley, it was just such a friendly environment between everybody, you know, from my dad and Vince getting along to Arnie Harris, everybody. Jack Rosenberg, they were just fun to be together and fun to watch.
You know, one thing, Jim, that you'll probably remember is that they worked in that old radio booth. That was before they redid the press box at Wrigley, and it was that you had that wooden catwalk there and this... That booth was massive. It was huge. And there was a bench in the back, right? That's probably where you hung out during the games, right?
I did. I sat on a very small cushioned bench right next to, I believe, Don was the engineer.
Yeah, Don Albert.
Yeah, and if anybody came in that was to be on the radio, it was really scooching over as close as you could to the wall and making sure you didn't hit your head on a steel beam that was sitting there. But that catwalk is where I used to sit. I used to have just a little folding chair out there, and I'd sit there, and I'd keep score and watch the game.
So did you have a chance between 10 and game time to run around and get into trouble as a kid, or did they keep a pretty close eye on it?
Occasionally. But they had back, when I was able to go down into the clubhouse, if you remember, Yosh, who was down there.
Sure,
Yosh Guano.
Yeah, Yosh, he ran that clubhouse, you know, like a police sergeant or something like that. You couldn't touch a thing without him saying, put that back, put that down. So, but I do remember running around a little bit down there, and at the time, being a kid, you don't understand what you're around or who you're around or what you're doing, so you don't. Now, sitting back, I think about it, and I appreciate it so much of what he allowed me to do and gave me the opportunity to do down there. It's just crazy.
When did you realize he had a cool job?
Probably more towards high school as I got older.
Yeah.
When people would say things, hey, you know, I heard your dad, or it's nice that these events or things like this occur, because then the name still stays out there. And then you start thinking again as I get older, some of the things you did above and beyond the radio booth were just... You know, he lived an incredible life.
Really did.
Well, Hall of Famer, obviously a guy who's a multi-sport athlete. You were a baseball player also, Jim, if I'm not mistaken. But I want to ask you about the chemistry between your dad and Vince Lloyd, because it obviously came across on the air, but it was as apparent to you off the air as it was to people listening to the ball games?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was, in addition to doing the games, there would be conversations they talk on the phone in the evening or the road trips that they go on. They were always together. And, you know, camaraderie is a huge thing, and that helps from a business standpoint. And the two of them were just phenomenal together. It was fun to watch. There were a lot of stories off the air that would be, you know, the listeners would find very entertaining that you can't really talk about here
right.
on the air. But,
right.
You know, they got along phenomenally.
Jim, what do you think he would be saying right now?
Well, he would think this was a great honor, because I think a lot of what he was recognized was for from the baseball standpoint. But I think what he did, you know, it was probably close to 30 years he was with, you know, on the air with WGN. He'd be thrilled with this. He really would. He'd probably be as thrilled that he, Vince, and, you know, Jack Rosenberg are going in together.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah,
no question about that. You know, I mentioned his versatility. I don't know how many people remember this, but he didn't just do Cubs games. And somewhere around here, I should find this, but we have Bobby Hull's 500th goal and Lloyd Pettit making the call and then throwing it to Lou Boudreau down by the Blackhawks bench and interviewing Bobby Hull after he scored his 500th goal.
Yeah, he did. He did that. The Hawks, I think it was 1 year, if I'm not mistaken. I know he did the Bulls, I think, for a year or two. I've got a picture of that. You talk about that 500 goal with Bobby Hull. I've got a picture of that with my dad and Bobby and holding the puck with 500 written on it. And Brett Hull, as probably a 13-year-old little pudgy kid, sitting on Bobby's lap. And it is just a neat picture to look at when you see that, looking at Bobby, obviously a Hall of Famer, and then his son, you know, going to be in Hall of Fame, looking as just a big kid.
You know, it's cool, too, to a guy from your dad's era, your dad born, in 1917.
Right.
That was the bring home the bacon dad. That was not the dad that took the kids to work and hung out with them. So it sounds like you had a pretty special relationship.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Yeah, and to hear the stories, and again, as the older I got, the more I appreciated it. But back in those days, as you finished the baseball season, you went to your job. You know, you had another job, and it was for love of the game. And he absolutely loved the game. And even later in the years, he would sit in the rocking chair or lounge chair and watch the games. And there were many times if I was visiting or over there where he would say, you know what, he should have thrown this, or why didn't he do that? It just never left him, which was exciting. As I said, the older I got, the more I appreciated that and understood a lot more.
Looking forward to seeing you next week, and congratulations to the whole Boudreau family. Not just a great shortstop, great broadcaster, and sounds like a heck of a guy.
Well, thank you. I think he was a heck of a guy. I'm sure my family would agree, but I'm looking forward to it and absolutely love to meet you.
All right, thanks, man. Hold the line if you would. Jim Boudreau, Lou Boudreau, goes in next week, part of the class of 17.
You know, there was a time where the booth was, it was Dwayne Statz doing the play-by-play along with Vince and Lou when Dwayne came in. And the last few years, they were doing the games, and Dwayne would go over to TV during the middle innings, and Harry Carey would come over and do the middle three. And you'd be in that booth, and you'd look at the baseball history in there with Harry and Vince and Lou and all the things they had seen. And then right down the hall, Jack Rosenberg and Jack Brickhouse was around. I mean, it was an amazing time.
And if you're lucky enough to ever be in that position, or you ever have, and this is true of Santa, too, the great thing is the talk that occurred between innings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because innings, you'd hear what they really thought about something or the stories they'd tell. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yep.
Dave's the same way in the Northwestern booth.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's why we're rolling tape on him like a Trump meeting.
He's more like Steve Harvey. You can't look him in the eye.
There is that, too, yes.
Yeah.
John DeCause will preview the next finalist announcement, or maybe even announce it next. I don't know. I'm not in control. We'll get to that in a moment. First, here's Mary. Congratulations to Mary Vandeveld, little Corinne Vandeveld, born last night. What do we think, 8:30, 9 o'clock?
Yeah, it was between 8 and 9, I think.
Singing in my car, singing in my car. It's called karaoke, judged by John DeCause. John DeCause, judged by John DeCause, the judge of karaoke, a singing superstar.
7:26. Before we get to John, some of you may be wondering, Steve, you had this huge Donald Trump development yesterday. You're barely ranting today. I've got Trump rant fatigue. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh. You know, already?
Yeah, I do. Well, Trump ran fatigue. I'll get to it. But for those of you waiting for, you know, my head to explode, it's still May before 10, maybe before. But none of this surprises me. None of this. You know, I've been saying it for 3 years. And I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm just saying, catch up. Welcome to the party. The guy's trouble. He's been trouble. Look, I knew him. I knew him from The Apprentice. I played golf. I knew him.
Yeah.
I didn't know him like other people know him, but I knew him enough to know this was a problem. I'm not surprised.
You need to have him on the show.
Oh, yeah. He'll come on anytime. At 7:27. He and Madigan coming in the same day. John DeCoste is here. How are you, John?
I'm good. I'm very good. Thank you.
Now, you're not sleeping. Are you worried about karaoke? Is that the problem?
Yes. It's the stress. It's all that stress.
All right. Of the entries we've received, is the quality as good as last year?
You know, I think they're actually better.
They are?
Yeah, I think they are. I think people have put extra time into it. And, I would say it's better.
The premise is fairly simple. We all sing in our car. Why wouldn't you want prizes for that? So we have prizes for everyone who qualifies, and then grand prizes. I got to get the grand prizes. Remind me to get the grand prizes. The grand prizes for the ultimate karaoke winner to be judged by you.
Right.
You'll pair it down to three finalists. Those three finalists will park in our parking lot downstairs.
Right.
They won't be allowed upstairs. They'll sing in their car in the parking lot downstairs on the day of the finals, and you'll judge.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's a lot of fun.
All right. We have one finalist so far.
We have one finalist so far.
You remember the name?
It's the Karskis, the husband
couple.
And wife.
Yeah. We have never had a couple in this.
No, episode. And that's what I was so impressed about. And they brought instruments, and she played the guitar, which I thought was really good. And he was in the car behind the steering wheel, so it was okay. It was actually okay. So.
And this week, are you going to announce a finalist now, or are we giving people a chance again to call in?
They can. We want to give them an opportunity to call in, all right? A couple of people have sent videos. You can also do that as well. And then I will announce this at the end of the show today, who the finalist is, the next finalist.
All right, I'm looking at the schedule now. Because of the tightness of the schedule on the show today, Sandberg, pay attention. She always pays attention. I'll take that back immediately. Let's look at the 9 o'clock hour to have people call in and sing. So if somebody wants to call in now, you can schedule them for the 9 o'clock hour to go sit in their car, even if they're at work, and sing.
Yeah, we're going to give them a break today because I know we said in their car, but I know a lot of people are probably already at the office. So I think it's even funnier that they're doing it in the middle of the office and everybody's staring at them.
But they don't have to sing in their car?
Yeah. Well,
it's not called Office of Cokie.
Well, no.
Office of Cokie? Sounds like a Greek dish. Opa!
You think go out in the parking lot in their car and sing?
That's the flaming booze, right?
Hey, I'll be happy to bring him some little ouzo.
You know me, I'm a rules follower. I've always been a rules follower.
Well, here's the thing. I felt sorry for this one young lady who sang and told us that she was sitting on a park bench watching traffic.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, it's radio. You didn't even have to. Thank you for your honesty, but you didn't have to be honest.
Yeah.
You could have just said, hey, I'm in my car.
So you're encouraging people to lie from their office or go out to their car.
Yeah, I'm actually.
All right, well, I can live with that.
Because they're going to end up singing in their car here.
Well, that's true.
If I choose them.
I don't like the way you're bending the rules, though. I think it's your lack of sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so in the 9 o'clock hour. But if people want to sing for prizes, they can call now and get on the schedule.
That's right.
Okay.
That's absolutely right. Or they can send their video in to M. Sandberg.
They can still do that right now.
Yes. SANDBERG at WGNRadio.com.
M. Sandberg at WGNRadio.com. And you could sing in your car right now. And if you don't want us to use the video, just make a note of it when you send us to it.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'll put it up with the other videos. All right. We'll come back with the big story next. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
And Andre will have it. What are you talking about next?
Oh, your favorite story of the morning. Security guard the security guard who was punched.
The puncher
has
been arrested. We'll get to that next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Speaking of karaoke, as we were earlier, this, of course, is my karaoke go-to song. Then again, if that's the case, why didn't I sing it? Because my video and our video montage of karaoke, I'm singing The Wheels on the Bus.
Very, very clever.
Oh, that's not like I wrote it. Steve Burness is here. He's taking care of business every day. Steve helped me talk through my ID theft the other day.
Yeah.
It never ends. Never ends.
Right?
It's continuous.
Did you get hit as well?
I got hit as well, too. Yeah. Somebody broke into an establishment that had my information, and they went to town and started buying things. Actually, I got a call from the police department. That's how I found out. So most people don't find out.
Yeah, without LifeLock, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, without LifeLock or other sources or the police calling you, sometimes you don't know. That's why you should get your credit report religiously on a yearly basis to see if you're a victim of identity theft.
If you get LifeLock Ultimate Plus, your credit score is in front of you every time you log on.
That's right.
So there you go. All right, let's talk about some of the scams that are going on right now. It's summertime. I would assume you've got the people coming by offering lawn care, offering services. Is the door-to-door types?
The door-to-door type is really concerning us right now. Right now, we have an alarming number of complaints on fake utility imposters. Commonwealth Edison and our office did a news conference yesterday, actually, and we're really telling consumers not to let people into your house unless they're invited in some way. So what I mean, somebody comes into your door, knocks at your door, and says they have to get in your house to look at your wires, look at your pipes, or check something out in your house. Do not let them in. Call the company that supposedly they're with first to make sure that they are part of it. Right now we have utility imposters coming to your house, knocking on your door, saying we got to go down to your basement and look at your electricity. When one goes down with you, you leave your front door open. Guess what? The second person in the car comes in and robs your house while you're...
So it's a different version of that that accident, that fender bender accident
exactly.
scam that's running,
yeah.
right?
It's increasing now because, as you mentioned, spring, the scam artists are coming out of the woodwork. It's really it's a hotbed of scams right now.
Target mostly older folks or
mostly
anybody?
Older folks, anybody's home, to be honest with you, but mostly it's older folks. Sometimes we had one last week where they said, I hit your garage on accident, and could you come out and inspect it? So they did, and obviously, they were out there for a few minutes, and they sold some items from the house as well.
Here is the way I would assume you avoid that, and you tell me if there's a better route. If somebody comes to your door, you legitimately believe they might be from the company, and you may legitimately want their services, you go, wait here a second, give me a card. You go in and you call the number on the card to make sure that the rep is working for them, right?
That's true. But
before you let them in the house?
Unfortunately, sometimes they give a card that's fake as well. So we suggest whoever they
are. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If the number on that, who are you calling?
Basically, you call whoever company's out there, you call the number you know. So call 411
and get
the number you know. If they say they're ComEd, call Commonwealth Edison directly or People's Gas, whatever it may be. I wouldn't let anybody come into your house unannounced in your house at all.
Unless you made an appointment to have it happen.
Exactly. But it happens all the time. Oh, we got to look at your electricity. There's an emergency down the block. There's some type of fear into them. If you really feel threatened in any way, call police. Call 911. And you'll see how fast those people walk away from your house. But we're seeing it a lot. Alarming rates. ComEd is seeing an alarming rates and they're trying to stop this. Please do not let anybody in your house. Tell your parents, tell your grandparents, tell them again and again. I remember my mom was alive.
Tell your kids.
You get to keep telling them until it sticks with them. And finally, my mom got it after probably 300 times I told her. And then she called me one time very proud, saying, I didn't let the guy in. He wanted to come in and check our electricity. So
also, too, now's the time of year, not so much kids, but people coming around saying, hey, you know what? I can mow your lawn. And many are legit. My mom's neighborhood, a lot of the guys are home from school and they're saying, hey, I want to do this lawn care business, that kind of thing. But check those out, too. Don't just, anyone who comes to your door say, oh, yeah, you can do my landscaping.
Exactly. We see a big problem again, as you mentioned, early in spring. It's a perennial problem that companies come around or even some individuals who said their companies are not licensed or bonded or insured at all. And then you pay them and you never see them again, or you sign a contract that's a long-term contract. So you got to check these individuals out first and foremost. Obviously, unless you're your neighbor's kids, that's a little different story.
But I saw a story, and it wasn't here. I think it may have been Oklahoma or somewhere, not in Illinois, of a scam going on where people would mow your lawn and then come to the door and ask for money.
Right.
And then when you say, well, no, I didn't hire you to mow my lawn. You go, oh, my mistake, wrong address. Well, we did mow your lawn.
Right, exactly.
And if it's, a nice older person, they'll give them the money.
That's what happens all the time. And also lawn care services, you come home, you see a sticker or a stake in your grass saying that we sprayed your grass. But I didn't offer it. Or I didn't want it. And we did it. And either you pay us or we're going to take it to a collection agencies and the people end up paying. So
some of them are more aggressive than others.
Some are more. It's a trick. Yeah, you don't have to pay. If you did not order it and somebody says they cut your grass or sprayed your lawn, you did not order
thanks
it, Say, thanks, goodbye. That's it. You walk away, and obviously don't open a door on them because you never know who those people are. And fortunately, as more and more door-to-door sales are occurring today, we see a lot of problems with that industry.
What about this happened to me last week too. People start. Remember, they used to put the little not the business card, but the coupons or the leaflets underneath your windshield wiper. I'm seeing those more now too. Should you believe those? Did you follow those? If it says, you know, half off, whatever that service might be for
great
the
deal. Call great now.
Yeah, call now.
Exactly.
You really have to understand and trust the company you're doing business with. So that's just a form of marketing. You see a lot more in the doors, cars, or windows, or wherever it may be. You still got to do your homework and due diligence. If you're getting something done at your house, you still need three estimates. I don't care what you're getting done. That's how you know if you're getting ripped off or not. You just don't go with the first one or the prettiest coupon or the prettiest ad in the yellow pages, because that's not indicative of how the company is going to operate. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Check other sources.
Can you imagine someone coming to Bernice's house to do something for him? He's running an FBI background check on him. He's frisking.
Right. I love playing with them as they come to the door to see what they're going to tell me.
They
obviously
happened. One time, do you remember, I got the IRS scam, and yeah, they literally called, and Steve and I were outside of the building.
Right.
And I handed the phone to him, and he said, he did his thing. He said, I'm the CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau. Who is this? Who's your supervisor? He messed with him for a few minutes, then they hung up.
Yeah, they usually hang up on you as well. But just people just don't check, Steve. That's probably my biggest frustration, is that people call us after the fact when they're duped or scammed. Call us first. Call the Better Business Bureau. We can give you a list of accredited businesses, and we can tell you what to stay away from. And then we also have Scam Tracker. That's a great new service that we have on our website. If you see a scam, report it to us. Even if you're not victimized, you can prevent this from happening to somebody else.
Before I run out of time, what's the moving scam?
The moving scam is basically, now it's May, it's obviously started a moving scam. You got guys appearing in a truck. They're not licensed or regulated or in any way or have insurance. You've got to check them out. That's the most important thing. Giving somebody all your belongings without checking them out is like opening your door without, you know, when you're on vacation and leaving it open. It's stupid to do. Really, there's a lot of great moving companies out there. Unfortunately, there's some bad actors who ruin it for everybody else. Just because they have a van or a contract does not make them a moving company, and you have to do their license check on them as well, because everybody's moving in May. So what? The good guys are all booked up. So out of the woodwork comes all these other so-called alleged movers that are not movers.
Yeah, it's like if it's not two guys in a truck and the truck painting says three guys in a scam, it's probably a scam.
It's probably a scam.
And don't pay until the end. That's a big problem, right? People pay up front and then...
Yeah, you pay up front. We have no leverage. So you pay third at the beginning, third in the middle, and third at the end. And if they don't want to take credit cards, that can be a warning sign, because they may not have any bank accounts worthy of anything. So if they say cash only, you know what? I would take a second look at that organization. I'm not saying they're bad, but again, if they can't take credit cards, something is wrong. If you do pay by credit cards.
I don't know why I'm hung up on this, but going through the ID theft thing, and I'll let you go on this, but I found out that you can't get a Social Security number reissued.
No.
Why is that?
I don't know the rule. It's some rules and regulations. You cannot get it once it's issued to you. That's it. It stays with you
is
forever.
Is there someone named Gladys in some office that goes, I'm not going to give you a new number?
There's something to do with it. There is extreme circumstances. They do. I don't have in front of me those.
But I was just trying to think of logically why that would be, because you can get numbers reissued for everything in your life.
I don't know.
Now my Social Security number is out there in the ether somewhere.
Right. It's going to stay out there and keep being sold, unfortunately. But there's some extreme cases you can get it changed. I don't know those extreme cases. You have to contact the Social Security Administration. But there are cases I heard that they did issue.
Maybe it's just you who can't.
Maybe it's you. You're flagged.
Thanks, man.
Steve
it's
Cochran,
flagged.
Yeah.
Just so any potential ID theft types know, my Social Security number is out there and available. My credit rating is 7, and I hear that's low. So
one,
I wouldn't
one,
try to
one.
Use it.
7111111.
1111.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice to see you.
My
always.
Pleasure. Anytime.
And
please.
How do people contact you?
BBB.org. Call us first, not after. Before you buy or hire, BBB it.
There you go. Steve Bernice. We're back after this. Mary is a brand new grandmother of little Corinne.
Woohoo.
And she's going to go see her at 10:01.
Yeah.
Here she is now on the trip.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
There are no sensitivities in terms of me or anybody who's been with the president in many of these engagements. He shares information in a way that is wholly appropriate.
I think we could do with a little less drama from the White House on a lot of things so that we can focus on our agenda.
The calls now on the Hill for, if there are tapes, to hear them, to see the transcripts, to have Comey testify, they are going to increase. We've tried tonight to get Republicans to come out and talk to us, and there are not Republicans willing to go on camera tonight. Does this story, before we confirm all of it, if it's confirmable, change the dynamic on Capitol Hill?
I think it does.
Brett Baer from Fox. Oh, and also Mitch Foghorn Leghorn McConnell. I think we do it a little less drama. He's the worst. He and Harry Reid. Just go retire somewhere on an island together. Go find Harry and live with him. So yesterday, the news broke late in the day that James Comey had a habit, as we found out most top flight investigators do and attorneys do as well, of taking notes on meetings where something extraordinary is said and then putting those notes in file and then having them in case you need them to not just freshen your memory, but maybe for a case down the road. And this memo that many now say they've seen from various news sources, various politicians have seen it as well, could be revealed as soon as next week and Comey testifies, which says there was a meeting in the White House. And at the meeting in the White House back in February, the president asked Attorney General Sessions and Vice President Pence to leave. And while he was alone with James Comey, he asked James Comey to drop the Mike Flynn, the General Flynn investigation.
Because he's a good guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good reason. Yeah, he's a good guy.
That's a quote from him, not me.
Yeah, can you let this one go? He's a good guy. Now, is that obstruction of justice? That remains to be seen. It's interesting. You can't criminally indict the president of the United States. Did you know that?
Yes,
you cannot do an indictment on the sitting president of the United States. Right. However, it could be used for impeachment, a word that's being thrown around with regularity all of a sudden. And, you know, if President Trump sees the light at the end of the tunnel and realizes it's a train coming, a train that he sent, maybe he'll be smart enough to step down before it gets that ugly. A long drawn out impeachment is in nobody's favor. But the fact is, this guy has been a disaster. His word. He has lied since the moment he got to office. And even the most staunch Trump supporters at this point, you've got to take a deep breath and go, what are we really looking at here?
Right.
This
right.
is not the media picking on a poor guy. This is a guy who has thrown his closest allies under the bus, his extended family under the bus. And for what reason? All for the sake of continuing to justify his insecurities about his election win.
If anything, what he should have done is said to Comey in that private meeting, you think we should look into Flynn, or you really think this is necessary to look into Flynn? You don't tell him not to look into Flynn, calling him a good guy.
How about this? Is there any way that this investigation could be avoided? Is there something else that could be done? As opposed to the boss saying to the employee, let's make this go away.
Right. As he makes that employee's boss, who would have been Secretary of State, Tillerson, leave the room.
Was it Tillerson? I thought it was Sessions.
Sessions. Yeah, the Attorney General.
Sessions, yeah. Barney Fife.
Yeah.
So here's where it goes from here. The Republicans are now in a position where they have to call witnesses, they have to file subpoenas, and there has to be questions answered. Jason Chaffetz on the Republican side has already done that in the House. It'll be done in the Senate today as well. And again, once the members of Congress get thrown around the word impeachment, it takes 20 Republicans in the House to make it happen, and then they go to the Senate for a Senate trial. This is not some good news story. This is actually very bad news. And Donald Trump could be remembered well if it gets to this point, if he stepped down before it came to that, because getting anything done at this point will be impossible. And for, again, if anybody wants to write this off as it's just a bunch of Trump haters, no. It's people who are trying to protect the democracy against the president of the United States, who is willing to do anything he can to continue to lie and for no good reason.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger telling CNN this morning, too, that he also backs the idea, like John McCain, of a special prosecutor. He said it's now time we look at the idea of an independent commissioner or a special prosecutor. I'm not sure the best venue, but I think it's time we do whatever is necessary, that when this is over, we give the American people the confidence that justice has been served.
And again, that's the truth, right? Because even though I think Kinzinger has been a little late to the party here, at least he's talking. As opposed to Mitch McConnell, well, we could use a little less drama. Thank you, Foghorn. Harry Reid was a horrible, horrible person when he was in charge of the Senate. Maybe it's you, the fact that you lead the Senate that makes you this bad. But for Mitch McConnell to say nothing and for Paul Ryan to say nothing, inexcusable.
No.
And by the way, the Democrats don't need to be doing any touchdown dances here. The Democrats are as big an embarrassment. And just because you're not in a criminal position here or he's not your guy, let's not be celebrating this. This is not a good development for America. This is all bad news. David Gergen, who's one of the most respected voices in media on politics, served four different presidents, was on CNN last night. If you want to listen to anybody's take on this, he's worked for Republicans and Democrats. He's fair-minded, and he's disgusted by the whole thing.
I was in the Nixon administration, as you know, and I thought, after watching the Clinton impeachment, I thought I'd never see another one. But I think we're in impeachment territory now.
Really?
For the first time. Well, I think that the obstruction of justice was the number one charge against Nixon that brought him down. Obstruction of justice was the number one charge against Bill Clinton, which led to his indictment in the House. He won in the Senate. And I think... I'm a lapse lawyer. I cannot tell you what it meets all the legal definitions, but I can tell you from a lay point of view, it looks like he was trying to impede the investigation. Mm-hmm. He was using his power to do that, and when James Comey didn't go along with him, when he wasn't his boy, he fired him, which I think is also relevant to the question of what he was trying to do.
And remember, the key point of this will be if the memo exists, and we certainly believe it does, and this goes to a Comey versus Trump thing, obstruction of justice can be put in the, and I'm not a lawyer, but I've heard this a million times since yesterday. Why did Donald Trump ask the other two people to leave the room if he didn't think what he was asking for was wrong? And if you know it's wrong,
yeah,
then you're obstructing.
In fact, don't you normally call people in and say, you know what, I need you to be a witness to
this? Absolutely.
Meeting. I need you to look this over.
Yeah.
And you know what? Take notes, Comey, because Comey took detailed notes on everything. Vladimir Putin responding this morning, Steve, saying that the United States is in a political schizophrenia. A political schizophrenia is developing in the United States.
Yeah, it's a big joke in Russia. Yeah. Russia's been laughing at us for a while now. How's that make you feel? The country deserves better. And if better's Mike Pence, fine. This is not going to happen overnight. And if Donald Trump can still prove he's innocent, I'll be the first to admit that he did and I was wrong. I was certainly wrong about him getting elected. But there's a mountain of evidence here. And it's getting worse every day. And that's not good for any of us.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
Top. Man, Dean joins us from Channel 9. There's nothing quite as entertaining as seeing Dave and Andrea fighting over how the white lightning thing went. We don't even know what it means.
I need a name for my vehicle.
What color is it, Dean?
Silver.
Silver? And what kind of car is it?
I could just call it Silver, like the Lone Ranger's
horse.
Hi-yo Silver?
Hi-yo. Or Silverado.
No, actually, it's actually
a
car.
It
could
else.
Be a different dealer. Yeah.
Silver Stallion.
Go ahead, buy yourself.
It's like a porn name.
Yeah, that's no good.
We'll think of one for you, Dean.
That's my nickname, Silver Stallion.
No doubt about it. We have Letterman news. We've got the Oscars announcing their host for next year, a live musical on ABC. But let's start with a celebrity boyfriend. Who's dating who?
First of all, let's start with Amy Schumer. She and her Chicago boyfriend, a Chicago furniture designer, his name is Ben Hamish.
Is it the Bob guy in the yellow golf shirt?
No.
Oh.
No, a different guy. Ben Hanisch is his name. They have split up, been together for 2 years. They met on a dating app, but they've decided to go separate ways. So, you know, we're sorry about that.
I hadn't lost any sleep over it, but I wish everybody well. I just want everybody to be happy.
Even Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Especially mm-hmm. Taylor Swift. She's sort of dropped off the scene for the last couple of months, and I think we know why now. Is that she has secretly been dating a British actor by the name of Joe...
Prince Philip.
Joe Alwyn.
Oh, I was wrong.
He's an actor. He was in a film that came out last year, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, that Prince Philip was not in.
Hmm. I didn't see the movie either.
There's a London publication that's saying that Taylor Swift now has a house in North London and goes out wearing disguises in public to keep the romance under wraps, much like Steve does. No reason for it. He just likes going
right.
out in disguise.
I go out in disguises, just be mysterious. And I'm waiting for people to call Sneed and tell Sneed and have her write about it 2 weeks from now. But I don't know. I just can't make it work for me.
I don't know how many times I've been out with Steve and people have gone, is that Harpo Marx? So add this.
And then anyone under 60 in that group goes,
right,
who's Harpo
right,
Marx?
Exactly. So add this. Joe, was that that what I said? Yeah,
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Add this Joe guy
yeah.
now to the Taylor Swift Boyfriend Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That includes, if you're ready for this,
go ahead.
Tom Hiddleston, Calvin Harris, Harry Styles, Jake Gyllenhaal, Eddie Redmayne, Connor Kennedy, John Mayer, Corey Monteith, Taylor Lautner, Joe Jonas, and Steve Cochran.
Yeah, dial it down.
And how old is she?
27, 8, maybe.
She gets around some.
You know, she dated Captain Kangaroo. They say that's what killed him.
And Mr. Green Jeans.
Where the hell did that reference come from? For either one of us.
Again, if you're under 60, we're going to have a glossary of all the references on today's show.
Old Guy Radio. All right. What's this ABC musical?
They are going to, you know, the NBC has done it with Sound of Music and Peter Pan and Hairspray and so many others. Fox has done it with several others. And now ABC's getting into the game, digging into their own vault. ABC owns Disney. And they're going to do Little Mermaid next October.
Under the sea. This is my audition. Under the sea. I forgot the rest of the word, so I just sing Under the Sea.
Like, you got a buzz.
A live musical?
Live musical.
Who's the mermaid? Daryl Hannah?
Me.
They haven't announced any of the casting yet. Probably not Daryl Hannah because she's about 85 years old now.
Right. She is not.
What about Daryl Hammond, the former announcer from Saturday Night Live?
Would be perfect.
Or Daryl Hall is probably available.
Daryl Hall. What about Hall & Oates as the mermaid?
When did we lose control?
Which end is Hall and which end?
Yes. I'll have what they're drinking.
Who's going to host the Oscars?
It's going to be Jimmy Kimmel again.
Oh, that's great.
This year. I thought he did
a great job until the ending.
Really great. Good job. Well, he had his comment on the official announcement that came out yesterday was, hosting the Oscars was the highlight of my career. If you think we screwed up the ending this year, wait till you see what we have planned for the 90th anniversary.
You know, he makes a good point because either him or the really pushy bald guy producer who thought he won the Best Picture Award.
Right, the La La Land
guy. Decked Warren Beatty and grabbed the envelope out of his hand before he brought up the actual winner. Maybe that guy should be Jimmy's co-host.
Will that be the opening bit or, you know, something? There's got to
Make some reference to
it. They have to do something at the beginning of the show with Warren Beatty and
Faye Dunaway.
I still want to know how they kept the same accounting firm. Somebody's got pictures.
And whatever happened to Faye Dunaway? Have we heard from her?
She's in the desert.
We have heard from her since that whole thing.
And
she apologized. She admits she goofed up.
Mm-hmm. As she's crawled away and left Warren Beatty to die there. And what's the Letterman is?
Letterman is going to get the Mark Twain Award.
Because he looks like a guy from that era?
For comedy. He's going to get the Mark Twain Prize for comedy. Letterman said yesterday, this is an exciting honor. For 33 years, there was no better guest, no greater friend of the show than Mark Twain. The guy could really tell a story.
He's still funny.
Love Dave.
He's still funny. By the way, in Dave's crazy beard, they found Larry Bud Melman. Again, if you're over 60, that's the whole point of today.
Now, see, I mentioned Dave's beard the other day when I ran the audio that I ran into Letterman at Indianapolis Motor Speedway last Friday.
What did you think of the beard?
I talked about this great thing that he's doing with veterans and helping provide equipment for paraplegics and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I had one little remark about his beard and got slammed by somebody, how shallow I am. That's all anybody talks about when you mention David Letterman.
That's exactly right.
Is the beard.
Whoever wrote you that hate note, I just want you to know.
Steve.
Kathy, go back to work with Eric.
S. Cochran.
Steve. And by the way, I lost my car keys in that beard. I had to take the tree.
I bet you did. Yeah. I bet you did.
By the way, we have a name for Dean before he leaves
name?
Us.
For
we
me do. Or my car?
Ready? Well, one, for both, right?
You and me. One, two, three. Silver Fox.
Yeah.
Boy,
the
so
judges
sexy.
Are cranky today.
Really how about cranky. How about this? How about tin foil?
No, that's not complimentary. Buzz yourself.
Because Dean's a silver fox.
I don't like any of these from my car name, but if I ever get into adult films, I'm going to change my name.
It's maybe the worst porn name ever, Tinfoil.
Got to be careful these days.
I don't think we'll watch that. All right, see you later.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
Please, Glink, thinkglink.com. Not a good day to check your portfolio. What's going on with the markets? Why'd they fall off so fast?
Well, you know, when the president seems to have maybe obstructed justice and, you know, nobody really knows what's going on.
The world's strongest democracy teetering on the brink. You think that'll have effect?
Well, here's what it does affect. It does affect the what was the, supposed to be this big pro-business agenda that Wall Street bought into with Trump, right? So nobody's talking about the fact that June 15th, all of the health care legislation has to be done. So, because that's what's actually in the existing legislation, they have to get everything done so that the insurance companies actually know what to do for 2018. And that is not so far from now. That's 3 weeks that the Republicans have to get everything all the way through and imagined. And I talked to one guy who's at a huge, one of the four big health insurance companies about a week ago, and he was just, he said, we have no idea what we're supposed to be doing, and everybody's been brought into headquarters to sit there almost waiting by the phone to try and figure out which way they're supposed to go. And so there's madness in the insurance markets. You're seeing the housing numbers down a little bit, up from a year ago, but down from where they were in March. New auto sales are slowing down. I mean, this is, you know, people are nervous.
Well, then I think what you got to do is time management, right? So if you're the president, impeach in the morning, finance in the afternoon. Impeach in the morning, finance in the afternoon, rinse and repeat.
When are you going to tweet?
You tweet in between on the way to your finance situation.
Got it.
Yeah. If only it were that easy. And I think that, you know, business looked to the Republicans, right? They've already put this their money on that pony years and years ago. And so where are the Republicans in all that? They're sort of, you know, staying on the sidelines, saying helpful pieces of information like, President Trump, you should be a little less dramatic. I think that kind of helpful information really, really supports the markets.
That's why Mitch McConnell is foghorn leghorn. It's just a lot of useless nothing. And by the way, I shouldn't say a lot because poor Mitch. Mitch was like J.B. Pritzker. He lost the ability to speak this week.
Are we all eye-rolling more, or is it just Anderson Cooper?
Well, you know, we always talk about how you got to stay involved in the process, even as nauseating as the process has become.
Yes.
But I completely understand why people go, it's corrupt. Both parties suck. There's nothing I can do to fix it. I understand why people feel that way. But the only way to fix it is to be involved. It's, you know, Trump talked about draining the swamp. Well, we'll start with both parties. You know, I mean, they're both just disasters.
So yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. And you look at what Tom Friedman had to say this week, which is the only answer here is get involved or financially support people who are getting involved. Like you can't sit on the sidelines here. It's not helpful.
No, because it doesn't change anything if you allow those who are screwing up the system to continue to be in the system and run it. Let's talk about the millennials, the hope for the future, the bright, shining, entitled hope for the future.
Well,
why aren't they buying houses, and what does it have to do with avocado toast?
So here's some more helpful information by a guy who has too much money and too little sense, right?
Uh-huh.
So there's some rich 35-year-old, so technically he's a millennial, mm-hmm. and he's made millions, and he just went out and he said, hey, millennials, if you want to buy a house, stop eating avocado toast for $19. And he's just been absolutely skewered on the internet. There's now 200,000 stories. Thank you, technology that writes auto stories. 200,000 stories about this idea that avocado toast is what's preventing millennials from buying a house. And I'm here to tell you that's not what's preventing them from buying a house.
Before we get to what is preventing him from buying a house, can I just tell you, I don't know what avocado toast is.
Yeah, apparently what it is for breakfast, the new breakfast of champions is no longer Kellogg's Cheerios or whatever, substitute whatever else you used to eat. You now take a piece of whole grain organic toast, and you toast it lightly, and then you mash avocado on top of it and a little salt and pepper, and that's what you eat in the morning.
It's like a spread, so instead of toast and jelly, instead of how we used to just take a piece of cold bread out of the fridge and put jelly on it or even peanut butter, you toast the bread, and then you put avocado on it like it's a spread.
Well, the world's only Nutella cafe is opening in Chicago. Why would you have avocado toast when you have Nutella?
It's healthy.
And sometimes you mix ricotta in it with some lemon and some red pepper flake, and it's amazing.
Okay, it's a lot of work for breakfast for me. I would just rather eat like a yogurt that's pre-done. But anyway, apparently this guy thinks millennials are only eating avocado toast.
Again, an entitled 35-year-old whether he's made his own money or not. Just shut the hell up.
Do you know what? Remember, Elise, you were on, was it last week or the week before, and said it was Money Smart Week, and you there were 10 ways to start saving money by cutting corners. So I started cutting my Starbucks, and I still see some of the younger kids with the millennials every day with the venti, $6 coffee, the macchiato. I don't know how. I look at them and I think, I can't even afford that.
But here's the thing. You look at Ross. You look at Kevin Powell. Kevin will be on with us in studio next hour. You can't blanket state that millennials are all sitting at home eating avocado toast and not buying houses. Sure, we have raised, and this is Elise's fault as much as it's mine. We have raised collectively a generation of entitled 20-somethings that have been babied or softer than they need to be. But it's not all of them. My daughter works her butt off. My son works his butt off.
Right, but do they both drink venti Starbucks?
Amy,
because
Amy
it's what they're used to.
Yeah, Amy drinks Starbucks because that's what she's used to. I don't know. Ross does as well. What am I saying?
Right,
Ross does as well.
Still,
but you know what? It's their money. If they're earning their money and they want to spend their money, it's fine.
It's expensive, but that's what they're used to. That's the point. You know, they grew up this way.
There's a few other things, though, that I think we have to recognize with millennials that are probably keeping many of the younger ones anyway in their 20s from buying a house. And so many of these people are graduating from college with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 of debt.
That's right.
It's a huge problem. Second problem is
they have mortgage payment-sized loan payments.
They do, and they not only have them for the first 10 years, which is what a typical student loan is, right? But you have them in many cases now for 30 years because they've, you know, combined them together and they've refinanced them, and then they go from a 10-year loan to a 30-year loan, and it truly is a mortgage, and it's a mortgage that's not at today's 3% interest rates. It's more like it's 6%, 7%, or 8% interest rates. And so that's one huge problem. And another problem that I'm seeing more and more of is it's not Starbucks is one thing, but there's the Uber thing. There's the going out and drinking well into your 30s every single weekend, 2-3 nights a week kind of thing.
Right.
There's eating out, there's takeout, there's the things that people think that they're entitled to do, which, you know, like travel the world from the minute you're, you know, born, you know, all the way on. I didn't leave the country until I was, I think, 16 for a trip to Israel, and then again when I was like 22, and then I think it was like well after that. So there's an expectation change that experience is going to somehow compensate, but every single dollar you spend in all of those things takes away from your ability to save money and get ready for a down payment and to start your life as an adult. Whether or not you choose to buy a house, some people will, some people won't, but putting money away for your retirement, giving yourself options, that's really important.
Right, and it's not instant gratification, which is part of the problem with millennials, right?
Yeah, it is. We want everything today. We see it on TV. We expect to buy the house that our parents are living in as our first time out. I mean, the whole idea of starter home, not sure anybody gets that anymore.
No.
And it's interesting to talk to millennials about their expectations and when they get into the workforce, how things might be just a little different than they expected.
How bad is the market going to be by 3 o'clock?
It depends what happens and what Trump says at the speech that he's giving today. I think he's at one of the naval academies giving a graduation speech.
Basically, his speech is this: I'm going to need a boat. If someone can give me a boat, I'm going to need a boat.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. There's also a question about, you know, what movie he might poach that script from. So we'll see.
The markets
could be bad over the next few days if there's not some clarity that on the impeachment issue, on Trump, on Russia releasing these tapes. That alone is beyond mind-boggling. Republicans have to get back to pushing a pro-business agenda to make the market feel better. Otherwise, it's up for grabs.
Well, at least Mitch McConnell's leading us. ThinkGlink.com. ThinkGlink.com, Elise. Thank you very much. Here's traffic with Mary.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:10, we continue with the final hour of the program. And I want to thank the people at Shure, S-H-U-R-E, the headphone company in Chicago. My constant search for the right pair of headphones. They sent over these Pilot headphones, and they sound great, but it looks like I'm either a doctor about to examine you.
It's weird.
Because it looks like a stethoscope, or I'm a pilot about to land your plane.
Do we have to turn and cough? Is that...
Andrea May. Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I'll take one for the team. Or, you know, the third option, too. You know, when you go to the museum, you know, the Art Institute, and you listen to the docent
tour. Yeah, walking around
it's
with
like
the tour.
It's like a docent tour, an audio tour.
All right, so I'm not sure the search won't continue, but I have to say they sound great.
They
sure
good.
Headphones.
They look good.
Well, it's nice of you to say, but I think you're just trying not to have me stay on this topic.
I kind of missed the Princess Leia look.
The Princess Leia look were these cans, these headphones that I had that literally looked like Princess Leia hair buns on either side of my head.
Yeah, it was a good look for you.
Some hot cross buns on the side of his head.
You look like you have another beard growing there.
Thanks, and I appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe an oxygen device could be
Oh, my God. You guys.
Like a tracheotomy.
You brought it up, Steve.
It's just funny that the seventh floor is all getting fired the same day.
I can't fire me. I'm a grandma.
Yeah, actually, you're the only one that gets to stay.
Thank you.
In a city of great stories that we don't get to tell enough, I want you to meet William Taylor. William is one of the great stories, and I'm just inspired when I hear somebody. And William, I don't know about you, but I believe you have to go through a lot of bad stuff in life to realize how good you have it.
That is correct.
And hopefully you don't have to go through too much bad stuff, but it does help you realize that life can be great and with all the potential you have. So here you are at 30 years old, and you grew up in a tough situation. You lost a lot of friends.
That is correct.
How'd you stay out of trouble?
I couldn't say I stayed out of trouble. It's just the things that I experienced helped shape who I am today.
Were you ever a gangbanger?
Not going to say that. Affiliation, maybe.
You were tempted by it, like everybody you grew up with, I'm sure.
You see it every day. It's a part of your community.
All right, so it's easy for a bunch of people sitting on Michigan Avenue to go, well, I don't know why they do it. Why do they keep doing it? They. It's not they, it's us.
Correct.
And the us piece of that, we don't want to write it off and be overly simplistic about it, but there seems to be a notion, I certainly hear this from cops, that one of the reasons the gangs are able to thrive in neighborhoods is because it's a choice for a family, and it's a choice that some of these kids can make to have a future when maybe it doesn't look like they have a future in other ways, whether it's school or jobs or whatever. You buy into that?
No.
Because it's self-will?
It's not self-will. It's a part of your community. It's just like if you say you grew up in the Gold Coast, so you're surrounded with businessmen, politicians, and things of that nature. So in our communities, we're surrounded by certain individuals, but don't mean that those certain individuals have to have that label of a gang member. It's just those circumstances in which we grow up in.
But was it free will that kept you in a position where you could be here today in your story? Or did you have somebody in your life that you really didn't want to disappoint? Or what saves you?
Honestly, it takes a community to raise a child. Yeah. So the situation I grew up in is mostly family.
Okay.
But with that being said, too, we do have those gang elements in that community. But our family is tight-knit, and they kept us on a leash or kept us in control. But the gang element still came through. And with that being said is that gangs are not the problem. You know, that's the label that they want to put on it, or that's the band-aid they can say is the problem are the gangs. But it's other opportunities that can be addressed, like lack of education,
right,
quality education, a lack of when we go out in our communities, we go down the street, we see a liquor store, a place that sells loose cigarettes, blunts, and things of that nature, abandoned lots, dirt, filth. But when you come downtown, you see something totally different. So when
by the way, we're talking about a mile away, mile and a half away.
Oh, less probably, yeah.
Yeah. And you're living in the burbs, you're thinking a mile is nothing, but a mile and a half away, it's a completely different world.
Correct. And it's just like I was saying, a lack of opportunity in those communities. It's a lot. But
breaks your heart.
Yeah, it's you grow up, you come back, you see abandoned house, somebody living there. You see drugs, you see violence. It's up to you really looking within yourself to see if that's what you want. I made certain decisions in my life, whereas I'm still affected by them today. Some are good, some are bad. But at the end of the day, it's my experience. And that's my story to tell.
Right.
But I just think as Chicagoans, period, if you live on the north side, east side, south side, west side, to look and see what can you do better within your city. Because at the end of the day, we're all Chicagoans.
So when we hear the mayor's got to do more, the cops have to do more, the community's got to do more, the churches have to do more, I think there's a lot of really well-intended people, and I think there's way too much black versus white talk. This isn't a white people problem or a black people problem. This is everybody.
Correct.
So what helps? What should people be doing to change the neighborhoods?
Focus on education. I don't mean education by going out to school or getting a degree or things of that nature, but educating yourselves on other avenues that you can take to improve your community. Buying up abandoned homes, actually taking your lawnmower and mowing those lawns, picking up the trash, make it look beautiful, because sometimes just the appearance can change things.
Change self-esteem about where you live.
Correct.
Right?
Get out in the communities, help younger generations. Sometimes people just need an opportunity to change, to see something different.
Did the Navy do that for you?
Not necessarily.
When did you go in?
I went in 2008, right when when George Bush's son was in office, right before Obama took over the first term.
Okay, so 2008, that's right when the economy collapses.
Correct.
So you go in, now there's an opportunity for a decent job, and you're going to be in the Navy for how long in your mind at that point?
At that point, I was looking at a 4-year, maybe to 8, just to see, because I always try to branch myself off within 4-year increments, because that's how I measure my growth and my development.
Now, what made you decide to get out and chase your dreams?
I started a family. I have a small child. And
God bless. How old?
4 years old.
And a little boy, a little girl?
Little girl.
It's the best, right?
Yes. She means the world
better,
to me.
Nothing better than having a little girl.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've got a son as well. I'm quite fond of him, too. But, he gets it, dads and daughters, because he's got one of his own now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you're a blessed man.
Thank you.
So you get out of the Navy. What do you do then?
I look into where I was going to do next. Actually, before I went to East West University, I attended the Illinois Institute of Art in Chicago.
Okay.
AI, at the Merchandise Mart. Things changed there for me, whereas I found myself at another crossroad, wondering, where should I do? Should I be more central focused on the degree that I was pursuing at the Art Institute, or should I do something that's more remarkable for myself?
Are you an artistic guy?
A little bit.
Okay, what were you pursuing there?
Audio production.
Okay, and then you move on to East West?
Yes.
And you're about to graduate, right?
Correct.
I want a hand for that. Right? Mm-hmm. And what's the degree in?
Business administration. I focus in accounting.
Okay, so are you looking for an entrepreneurial type of thing, or are you looking just to get a great job and get started?
A little bit of both.
Okay, so listen, I want people listening right now. My new favorite accountant sitting right here, future accountant right here. Are you doing the CPA route, or what's going on?
Maybe a year from now.
Okay. Either way, the man knows numbers. He's got a great story. I want anybody listening who's got a need for the next great accountant in your firm to call us, and we will hook you up with William, or text us. Either one at 312-981-7200. By the way, that was free.
Thank you.
Why accounting?
Why accounting? It's also art. It is art.
You got to explain that to me, because my brain
is. It's art and accounting. People just probably think it's all crunching numbers and things of that nature. But if you have a good accounting, your business can thrive and succeed. Inventory, for example. Helping most businesses buy too much. We see that's a problem with retail right now.
That's true.
You go into Sears, you go into places like Kohl's, it looks an abundance of too much stuff being thrown at you at one time. You know, it's not organized like it used to be. With that being said, is you can cut costs with inventory. You don't need so much inventory within the stores, because the online market is what's taking over in the business economy as far as retail.
You got a busy brain, man. You're thinking this stuff out.
I think things through, because at the end of the day, it might not go as planned, but at least I have
a focus in the direction.
In my, what am I want to say or what I want to do.
I like it. Andre, say hi to our friend William.
William, I think it's great. I mean, you grew up, you had friends, you lost to gun violence, you witnessed it firsthand. Who were some of the people who kind of inspired you and you looked to and thought, boy, I don't want to go this route. I want to better myself and go a better route.
I never look at myself and compare myself to anybody else. See, that's the thing. I don't want to be measured to anybody else. Mm-hmm. I look at myself like what I want to do.
Right.
Like I said, I grew up humble beginnings on the south side of Chicago. I partaked in some of the things that's helping being described as the destruction of Chicago. Within myself, I wanted to change. I wanted to do things differently. I don't want to be just like anybody else. I want to be who William Taylor is.
Right.
I don't want.
Right. So, who did you look to? Who helped? Were you? Did you have teachers inspire you? Your parents? Your brothers? Your sisters?
My family. Period. Yeah. I have a huge family, and my grandmother, which is a pillar of our family. Her sisters, my father, my mother. You know, I can go down the line. Individuals in the community that keeps you on the right track. It's like I said earlier. It takes a community to raise a child. It's coming together for a common good. And I think by me graduating, I am that common good or that common factor. Whereas now that I'm a little bit more educated, a little more older, I can go back in that community and I can help affect change. And that is my goal.
Yeah.
I like the statement that it's all about you. There is, even if you're a 15-year-old kid, you don't have to live that life. You don't have to be sucked up into that life. Not everybody doesn't have a loving family that comes from that. Do you worry about those kids that don't have a, you know, a mom and a dad at home, or a dad at home maybe, or whatever the case may be?
Yes, you should worry.
But who steps in then? Is it the churches?
The
community?
I don't want to say anything bad but about the churches, but we all can do more. At the end of the day, if you see somebody that doesn't have a father in the house, sometimes you can step up and be a father mentor.
Amen.
You don't have to be their father, but you can be a mentor. You can show them something different.
A big brother.
You know, sometimes they lead into something bad, or sometimes it can lead to something good. Somebody just needs a chance and an opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going down this road thought-wise, but my opinion of the churches in any neighborhood, they have their own agenda. I'm a Christian. I go to church.
Money.
Yeah, well, in a lot of cases. But there are great churches, and then there are churches who are too financially driven to my liking. Mm-hmm. And that goes on in the tough neighborhoods as well as it does in the ones that aren't in that kind of tough shape. The other thing you mentioned, too, before we go to the break, investment in the neighborhoods. The city has done, I think, a decent job of making some real estate in this city really, really affordable, yeah, to
and
the
desirable.
Point where you want to go and you do some speculative investment. You go into some of these neighborhoods and you can really buy up some places and fix them up and give people a new shot.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around. More in a second. His name is William Taylor, and we plan on getting him hired before the segment's over. So stand by. More with William in a second. 923 on 720 WGN. 926, William Taylor's here. He's 30 years old. He's a dad. You married?
Yes.
What's your wife do?
My wife is an entrepreneur.
Okay.
She actually makes pastries.
Really?
Yes. Pound cakes.
You look like you're in pretty good shape. She didn't let you eat any of it?
You know what? I have to do a lot of running at the work.
Is she a little bit taste tester when she's trying something new?
Yes.
Well, good for her. That's great.
Yes.
Does she do it for a particular business, or is it a freelance thing?
She does it freelance right now.
You want to pump the company? What's the company's name?
Miss Cake by the Pound.
Miss, ooh. I like that. Miss Cake by the Pound. How does she sell? She got a website, or what does she do?
You can go to her Instagram or her Facebook page at Miss Cake by the Pound.
I'm going to order one of these right now.
Yeah, do that. I'll pay for it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. William Taylor's here. We were talking about going through a tough upbringing and making your own decisions and having a family that loved you. It certainly helped. But here you are on the verge of graduating and looking for a job as an entrepreneur, but looking for a job in the accounting business first and foremost. As a guy like you, who's a smart guy who spends a lot of time thinking about how life ought to work and how to make things work for you, what's your hope for the city of Chicago? Do you share the pessimism that people have, or are you more optimistic about what things could be?
I see what things can be because I've seen what things once were. Saying that before, you know, we can't sit here and place the blame all on one individual here in Chicago, because like I said, we're all Chicagoans. But my outlook on Chicago is a change of leadership. And I don't mean by that being the mayor. I mean in our local wards.
Mm-hmm.
Aldermen need to be held accountable for how their wards are being ran.
Much interesting point. I hadn't thought much about this, but the aldermen for the neighborhoods the neighborhoods you grew up in or the neighborhoods you know, are they effective?
No.
And what do you make of that?
I want their job.
No, you want their.
That's what makes me. That's how I feel. I want their job. You get what I'm saying? Because I think my ideology, my ideas, and my motivation can help affect change in those communities. You know, like I said, you go through those communities, all you see is a gas station, liquor store, a place that sells cigarettes. You don't see thriving businesses. When I was growing up in those communities, you saw owned businesses by people that stayed in those communities. You saw hardware stores. You saw pharmacies. You saw things like that. Even though you saw like the Walgreens or Joe Osco's and things of that nature, but you don't see as many liquor stores. And I think that's part of the problem. You don't see a church on every corner. You need things that make people proud of that community.
Yeah.
Like what we know Bronzeville to be. It's for blues, the music. Mm-hmm. Back, we need to bring back that type of Chicago.
Well, you're 30 years old. So 10 or 15 years ago, is that when it started to get a lot worse? Because it sounds to me like you're saying the slide's taken place in the last, 10 or 15 years. The hard slide.
Yes.
And is that because of the guns have poured into the neighborhood and the violence has gotten so much pub that people have left?
I think people just pushed it to the side. You know, they thought maybe gangs were taking over. I don't think it's just, we can't just put that label on it, just saying that it's just gangs. There's other factors too. You know, no economic opportunities in those communities. Tearing down schools or closing schools. Also, we're closing schools, but they're abandoning houses in that community. So that means there's nobody living in these communities. Right. Nobody taking pride in those communities. I think we have to take that pride back as it being in Chicago. You know, we're the city of big shoulders. So we should put our shoulders back, put our gloves on, and get to work.
And the fact is, you got to take care of your own. You got to take care of your own block, your own mm-hmm. house, your own lawn, your own neighborhood. And
but
it's
if you
nice.
Don't own the homes in the community and you're renting and you have slumlords, like we come in, probably one person owns half of the block.
Is that right?
They're not taking pride in those properties, or they're not effectively putting people in those properties that's going to take care of their properties. Because like you said, that is an investment. It works both ways.
You got to get in and get your hands dirty.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you ease people's fears? People who want to come in, build businesses and whatnot. I mean, Bronzeville, they now have Mariano's, the Whole Foods by 63rd and Halsted.
Correct.
Great, great big box stores come into these areas too. How mm-hmm. do you ease people's fears who say, you know what, I want to open up shop in Albany Park or East Garfield Park?
Take a tour. Come meet the community. That's the thing about it. Have a community forum. See what the community needs. Those big box stores come in, and they do hire in the community, mm-hmm. but be wary of that, too. It's just not the big box stores. How about small businesses? I think small businesses will drive the economy back, not the big box stores, because when those big box stores decide to close up and leave, mm-hmm. you left with a gap. You left with a burden.
Yeah, the foundation needs to be people that live in the neighborhoods.
Correct.
Right. Before we let you go, and again, he's our new pal, William Taylor, just getting out of school. When do you graduate?
June 18th, actually, on Father's Day.
Oh, well, there you go. How great is that?
Great.
And looking for a job as an accountant. You didn't come in here looking for a job. I've turned into your agent since you've been sitting here.
Thank you.
We just asked you to come in and tell your story. But if anybody's listening that wants to contact us, I'm sure you have a resume you can kick out through us.
Yes.
And we'll go from there. But I wish you nothing but the best, because I think it's important to hear from somebody who's lived the life and been in the neighborhoods, because I always talk about this. And it's not like I'm spending enough time in the neighborhoods either. I mean, mm-hmm. I spend a little more than most maybe. But and you're out covering stories left and right.
Every weekend.
But the vast majority of people who live in the toughest neighborhoods in the city want the same thing that people want from Naperville to Lake Forest. You just want your kids to grow up healthy and happy and the best chances and opportunities they can have. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to go to the store, go to the park, and not worry about getting shot, going there or coming back. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants the same thing. So let's not make it a black and white thing. Let's make it a City of Chicago thing.
Yes.
Anything last from you, Andrea Darlis?
Oh, I think it's great what you're doing, and congratulations on your success. And I'm going to buy a pound cake.
Yes.
Is that okay?
That's right. That's exactly right.
From your wife.
Yeah, good luck to your wife's business as well, and hugs to your little girl. Four, you said?
Four.
4 years old.
Yes.
Going to have more kids?
When the time tells.
I don't look old enough to be a grandfather, do I?
The Steve Cochran Show.
The oldest, youngest man works on the radio. But this is all you need. No. He will always eat bacon and fries, and he'll only supersize everything he gets from Mickey D's. He does all the sound cues right, and in between he will take a bite of anything that lies within his reach.
Who could it be?
I'd like to introduce to you.
That's a classic, man. It's like classic rock.
I haven't heard that
John DeCause
in a couple of years, so it's fun to hear it again.
That was 30 pounds ago.
Yeah, that does. I have to rewrite it.
All-time favorite.
Kev, you look great. How are you keeping the weight off? Mostly throwing up?
That'll work from time to time. If I skip a workout, I'll mix that in.
But did you ever go back to eating fast food? And the?
Oh, I still don't eat fast food. I still eat junk. I mean, I had a bacon cheeseburger the other night, so I still eat some junk here and there, but no fast food.
But literally, from the time on this show, when you said you're done with fast food, you never went back.
I do have to admit, I took a couple bites of an Egg McMuffin like a month ago.
Oh.
I had a relapse.
Where'd the bacon cheeseburger come from?
It was just at like a restaurant. It wasn't a fast food situation.
Did you eat it quickly?
I ate it very quickly.
Well, then it's fast food.
Fastly consumed.
But you've essentially made the ability to pound in the on the calories and the pounds tougher because you're actually forcing yourself to either cook or go to a restaurant.
And just eat less, to be honest. You know, if I
by the way, this is the big secret. Write this down.
It seriously is. Like,
eat less.
Run more.
Move more.
Yes.
Not even run.
Just move. Just move.
Eat less.
Is it two S's?
Move more. I got an infomercial tonight. I'm the before picture. Eat less. Move more.
Right. It's worked so far.
Hey, were you on the show when we introduced Owen Mahan? Do you know this story?
I heard some of it, I believe.
Owen Mahan's little boy was abused by his family horrifically and was burned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He ends up in foster care, and his foster mom ended up adopting him. So remember the Chicago Fire folks and the agent for a lot of the actors stepped in?
Yeah, because he was on set a couple of times, and they gave him some toys and let him be on the movie set, which was really cool.
So he's 9 years old. He's got another surgery coming up. He's going to have to have his other leg amputated. He knows it. He deals with it all the time. Yeah. He's an unbelievable kid. They gave him an unbelievable day, a surprise day in Chicago. He rode the carousel at Navy Pier.
Oh, cool. And probably the Ferris wheel, too.
And he thought he was going to a doctor, and they kept driving. And he said, I knew I was going to miss at least one. He got here, his mom, an incredible woman, by the way, Susan Mahan, mm-hmm. who adopted him. She had a bunch of kids of her own and then adopted a bunch of foster kids. This woman's a saint. Single mom, too, by the way.
She's awesome, yeah.
And he ends up at Wrigley.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah. And there was a home run, and Jed Hoyer goes, oh, he hit that one for you.
Oh, how cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
He's so great. Kevin, he loves to get mail. So we were sending him, we had everyone send him cards and little things in the mail. And his mom would read the cards and stuff to him while he was going through physical therapy.
God.
So it was super cool.
Very cool.
And they had him sitting in the dugout for batting practice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
And Jake Arrieta was there talking to him stuff. So it was a great day for a great kid. Owen Mahan, keep him in your prayers. But yeah, send him mail. And also, if you can, contribute. Because I think, Sandberg, is that GoFundMe page still up?
Yes.
It is. So we've got links to that. So search that if you like, or just search Owen Mahan through WGNRadio.com. Keith is standing by. Before we talk baseball, Kev,
mm-hmm.
Keith is standing by. And I'll see what John thinks of him. So, all right. So, Jack, I understand you're going to play the music, and Keith is going to jump in. Is that right? All right. So let me get Keith in here. All right, Keith, stand by. Here we go. Hit it when you're ready.
I want to dedicate this one to the lady.
Sometimes sit back.
Thank you, Dave. Need something to keep you cool. Now, summertime has been.
Beautiful.
Look out now, though. Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my God. I'm your ice cream man.
No, you listen. Just because you got the buzzer doesn't mean you're not great.
That's right.
Juggling a lot. You're
right.
Singing it live. There's a lot happening there.
This is John DeCosta. I did not have the buzzer. That was not me. I was listening.
I'm glad to hear that you're one of my biggest fans, John.
You're darn right.
All right, so Keith.
Did you guys think it was very ZZ Top-ish? Like, how, you know, kind of that.
Actually, I think maybe ZZ Top roadie-ish. Yeah, like one of the roadies for ZZ Top.
Oh, really? Yeah, that'd be more like it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I enjoyed it. I think it's harder to sing when they're singing and you're trying to time it up, even though you know the words.
Well, let's stop sugarcoating this. You need a lot of work, Keith. But we have prizes. We have prizes for you, so hold the line, buddy.
He put himself out there.
Do we have I understand we had some technical problems with some videos. Do we have the finalists to announce today, or do you want to hold this announcement?
No, I'm going to hold this announcement until next Wednesday.
Oh, so we're pushing this back
a week. Pushing it back 1 week. The final two will be announced both next Wednesday.
The reason is because we got two or three videos and they have some technical issues. We want them to be reissued.
Yes.
Yeah.
We want these people to have a chance because they're way better than Keith.
It's amazing. I'm the judge and everybody else judges.
Mm-hmm. All right. So keep those coming too. What's the web or the email?
M Sandberg, SANDBERG at WGNRadio.com.
All right, and we are back with Kevin on the Cubs and whether or not they should break up the team because it's over. That's next, and then Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. Kevin Powell's here. Kevin chases the Cubs, so you don't have to. And this has not been the start that we expected.
No, I didn't expect this start. I don't think there's an ounce of concern with the offense. It's just absolutely too stacked. We saw him break out last night. I think there's some question marks with the pitching, particularly the fifth spot in the rotation. Brett Anderson's been really bad when he's healthy, and right now he's not healthy. So My question mark for them is how much are they willing to give up in terms of prospects to go get another arm?
Do they? So, do what they are you go- hearing?
Well, I mean, some names. To me, the deal that makes the most sense, I don't think they're going to do it, is Jose Quintana for the White Sox. It just makes absolute sense to me. He's a lefty. He's controllable arm. He's got a team-friendly contract. I don't think the Cubs want to do that, though, just because proximity and things like that and the scrutiny that could come along with that trade. But Chris Archer with the Rays is a name you've been hearing. It's been thrown around for a few years now. Yu Darvish for the Rangers, but the Rangers have won seven in a row. They look like they could make a run.
Well, what are they willing to deal? Will they deal a regular player, too?
I don't think they give anybody regular, but you're looking at Ian Happ. Look how, you know, he's off to a strong start. Candelario, Eloy Jimenez in the farm. I mean, they have all the.
Well, now you're
all
just
the,
making up names.
I'm making up names here, but they're all good players, these made up names. And they can pretty much get anybody they want. It's just, do they do a rental like they did with Chapman, where you give up a prospect for half a year of service, or can they find a deal where they can get a guy they can control for 3 years? Because after this, they really only have Hendricks and Lester.
All right, well, before we run out of time, predictions. Jake, Dave, Kevin, the people that swim in this world more often than the rest of us. Dave, Cubs are going to deal? What are they going to do?
I think they'll make a deal. Yeah, I think they'll make a deal. And look, that's been their MO anyway. Mm-hmm. And they have the wherewithal to do it. They have the prospects to do it. And it's not like, you know, the window's open. No window is open forever in terms of winning. So when you have the opportunity, and this team is certainly good enough to win it all again, you got to make some moves, and I think they will.
You can't let the Cardinals get too far in front of you. Mike, who are they going to get? Whoop, hold on, try it again.
I think they make a deal as well, and I think it could be a big name that could be on the move for the Cubs. I think that'll be – I think it could be a shocker.
One name I'll throw, speaking of shocker, the one name that surfaced, I think it was Keith Law reporting, Zach Greinke. Apparently the Cubs have had scouts looking at the Diamondbacks starting
pitcher. Isn't he like 48, 49 now?
No.
No, he's got a huge deal. He just signed a six-year, $200 million deal. Mm-hmm. The Cubs would have to eat about 4 years of that. But that could be the blockbuster Mike's talking about.
Well, the fifth spot, you need what, five quality innings?
Easily, yeah.
Five. You need five quality innings in that fifth slot. What about Ronnie Woo-Woo? He's beloved by the Cubs.
Great spitball.
Yes. He rarely has a ticket. It seems like this would be a perfect fit. Ronnie Woo-Woo in the number five.
He looks
slot.
Good in a Cubs uniform, and it's always nice and neat and clean. So, yeah, I mean, throw him out there. Give him a shot.
Isn't his arm hurting right now?
Fastball. Woo! Curve. Woo! Right.
Can I ask Kevin the most important question in Chicago sports right now? Will Giovanni Soto be coming back to the White Sox?
Not for a while. He's on the 60-day DL.
You still have his poster on your ceiling?
I still have his bobblehead where his head popped off.
I don't know what's happening at your
house.
He had
a good run.
Bill and Wendy next. Kev, you're on with Roe today?
Roe, 3-7.
Good luck with that train wreck. We'll talk to you later on 720 WGN.